The fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Appreciate your giving tonight and the hospitality that's been showed. And the Bible said, amen, if it's just a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple, he said, ye shall in no wise lose your reward. And I'm glad tonight God's keeping a record. If you need any tapes for the meeting, we have them right back in the vestibule, right off the vestibule in the room back there, the overflow. And if you need last night's tape from over at Brother Golf's church, we have that. Would you stand with us tonight for the reading of God's holy word? Familiar chapter tonight in God's book. Amen. Let's begin with verse 1 this evening of chapter 5. The Bible said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, but as become a saint. Neither filthiness for foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are ye light in the Lord, which walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For who whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore ever he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Bible says again tonight, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We got one remedy tonight for this age in which we live. There's one solution to the problem of carnality that's in the church world. There's only one way tonight we're really going to make it the way God would have us to make it tonight. And that's to be led of the Spirit of God and to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I'd like to preach a little while tonight on a Spirit-filled Christian. Would you ask God to help us have His way, Heavenly Father? In the lovely name of Jesus and the power of the Son of the living God, Lord, we come as humbly as we know how. Ask Him of that heavenly holy anointing that comes from another world. Engulf our hearts, touch our lives, enshroud our souls. Let your blessed will be done tonight, God. In this service this evening, we pray. Anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, every mind to comprehend. Let the liberty of the Holy Ghost prevail. Saturate us tonight. Breathe upon us. Holy Ghost, to walk these aisles. Challenge every life. Minister to every soul. Let the will of God be accomplished, we pray. And we'll praise you, love you, and honor, and give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' wonderful, lovely, holy name. Let us all say amen. Amen. You may be seated. May God richly bless you tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. The Bible goes on to say, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The words of Apostle Paul unto the church at Ephesus tonight, reminding them of the necessity, the need, and God's perfect will of a Spirit-filled life. He started out in the first verse of this chapter exhorting them, amen, to love. Oh, and brother, we need that in this hour in which we live. We're in a generation, we're in a day, amen, the iniquity is abounding and the love of many is waxing cold, amen. And I guarantee you one thing tonight, you'll not have too much love in this present hour in which we live. Amen. I mean, you know well as I do, we're living in a day, friend. Amen. You mess up just a little bit. I ain't talking about a lot. Just mess up a little bit in the ministry. And I mean, friend, a lot of men will mark you off. And I mean, there ain't many second chances. Amen. In holiness tonight, it seems. But oh, exhorted him, amen, to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, amen. Oh, that we'd exhibit the kind of love, amen, that God's Son exhibited to you and I tonight, friend. He also exhorted them to purity. In verse 3 of this chapter, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Amen. Neither filthiness for foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Amen. He reminds us again in verse 15. Amen. Of prudence. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Amen. I mean, friend, we're living in a dangerous day. We're living in a diabolical hour. We are living in the most perilous time that the church world has ever known since the beginning of its existence. And friend and I, there's a drastic need in a day of formalism. Amen. In a day of complacency. In a day of satisfaction. In a day of spiritual sleep in the house of God. In a day of ease in Zion. Amen. In a day of lackadaisical spirits. Amen. There is a need among the church world tonight. And that's to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. You know it well as I do, friend. Amen. It seemed like we no more get revived till we're needing it again. And friend, we're living in a day very few pastors can stand up and say, amen, that the majority of their church is really filled with the Spirit. Amen. Now, we got a lot of people that talked about the day they received it. We got a lot of folks, amen, can remember the year they prayed through. But, oh, friend, it's another thing tonight to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I quoted the scripture last night in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were all assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. With boldness. And for him, that was not new converts, but that was a New Testament church. Had it already been to the upper room, had been seeing folks healed, had been seeing people get saved, had been seeing the miracle working hand of God in the church. And yet in the midst of it all, they got filled again and again and again. And brother, there is a need tonight. I know the majority of our people claim to be filled with the Spirit, but what does it really mean tonight to be a Spirit-filled life, to be a Spirit-filled soul, to be a Spirit-filled Christian? Amen. Hey, friend, tonight it's more than just feeling good and talking in a heavenly language. It's more tonight than showing up on a pew. Amen. Reading the songbook and putting a little money in the plate. It's more tonight than a waving of the hand every now and then and shouting when the service gets high. The fact is, tonight we're needing a Spirit-filled church with the holy power of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that we might stand faithful in these last days. He said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Hey, friend, you don't have a choice. You don't have a decision. If you want to please God tonight, if you want to be in the will of God, if you want to be in His perfect will, it's God's will tonight for every born-again saint of God, every child of God, every blood-washed individual, amen, that's separated from this world, to be filled with the Spirit, amen. And I believe we need it again, and again, and again, and again. Amen. What does it mean tonight to really be filled with the Spirit? Number one, it means that we will be devoted. We will be devoted. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Now I'm going to go a different direction with this tonight. It'll be totally different, amen, than what some of you think I'm going to preach. But hey, friend, there's more tonight than running an aisle and talking in tongues to be Spirit-filled. I'll tell you what we're needing out of our Holy Ghost-filled Christians. We're needing some devoted lives that will study this Bible for themselves, that will shew themselves approved unto God, that will not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We got a lot of people living something because grandma said it was that way. Amen. Amen. Or grandpa said it. Or Aunt Susie said it. Amen. Or some preacher in another state said it. But we need to know what the Bible says for ourselves. Amen. Romans 14 and 12 says, for amen, we all shall give account of ourselves unto God. There is a reckoning day. There is a day of accountability. There is a day I'll stand before the Lord. And woe unto me and woe unto you if we fail to be devoted. How much studying do you do tonight? How much Bible have you read since ye received the Holy Ghost? Amen. How much, amen, do you allow for God in your daily life? I mean, friend, we're living in a day, amen, the dust on the Bible, amen, that may have been an old song, but it's realer today than it ever has been. Hello. Hey, friend, study, amen. I mean, we know more of the sizes in the J.C. Penney catalog. We know what D, E, and F cost. Amen. More than we know. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hey, friend, we're living in a day the majority of our churches, if you told them to turn to the second book of Nicodemus, they'd be looking for it. Amen. If you told them, amen, turn to the 10th chapter of Jude, they'd be looking for it. Hello. I mean, we're living in a day, I'll tell you what we're needing. Amen. Along with shouting and along with tongue talking, we're needing some people that will get in this book and study. Just you themselves approved unto God. Amen. A spirit-filled Christian will be devoted. The Bible reading tonight is just about like prayer. We talk about it. We sing about it. We shout about it. We preach about it. Amen. We exhort it. Amen. We water it around. We discuss it. But how much do you practice it? How much do you do it? I mean, in a day when the average minister, amen, is only praying about 7 minutes a day. Hey, we ain't going to shout tonight, but it'll help you if you take it, amen. In a day when the average preacher is hardly praying through. Amen. I wonder how much word we're reading. Are you hearing me tonight, friend? Oh, I've heard people say, and I know the saying. Amen. They'd rather hear somebody preach that's prayed a half hour and read 5 minutes and read a half hour. Amen. And prayed 5 minutes. But the fact is, amen, along with the praying, we've got to have a reading. Amen. Hey, friend, this old lie about, amen, you don't need to study. Just open your mouth and he'll feel it. He sure will. It'll be filled with hot air. Amen. I mean, brother, we're living in a day. We need to know the Bible. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms 119, verse 11, David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Amen. I'll tell you why there's sin in the modern day church. I'll tell you why there's sin in the Pentecostal church. People aren't reading the word. They're not hiding it in their heart. Amen. Psalms 119 and 9. "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." A young man gets saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost the same way an old person does. By taking the heed to the word. By listening to the word. By reading the word. Let me tell you, friend, this thing's a lot closer tonight than some people's living and some people's practicing. And there's a need tonight in our churches. I don't care what you got to do, Brother Humphrey, to get your church to read more in the next year. And I'm not, amen, making them an example. Amen. All our churches are in the same boat. I don't care if you got to get a chart up and put people's names and give them stars every Sunday for reading that. We're needing people, amen, to read the Bible. Oh, I know they've come out with a quick scan. Amen. And oh, a lot of people brag about that. But if all you read the Word of God for is to get through it, you miss the purpose. You're wasting your time. Amen. Study, study, study. Get you thyself approved. Amen. If some people studied, amen, what is that, the DOT license test? Amen. The truck driver, the heavy equipment test. If some folks studied that like they do the Bible, they'd never pass. Hello. If some folks, amen, studied in school like they claim to read the Bible, they'd have flunked out a long time ago. Hey, friend, if some people, amen, read, amen, amen, the paper like they did the Bible, they wouldn't even know what's on the headlines. Hello. Friend, I mean, it's sort of funny tonight, but it's like the young boy that went before the elders. Amen. And he was applying for his license in a ministry. I've got it out in the book in the trailer. I thought about it. I brought it in tonight, Brother Harris. Amen. And I mean, he stood before that board of elders. He said, all right. He said, do you know the Bible? He said, yes, sirs. I know that book cover to cover. Amen. Amen. He said, well, what tell us? What's your favorite book in the Bible? He said, the book of the parables. The book of the parables. He said, tell us something about that book of the parables. He said, well, there was a man that was going from, amen, Jericho to Jerusalem. Amen. And he was, amen, going down the road. And, amen, he got robbed by some thieves. I'm just giving you the highlights. Amen. And the thieves, amen, robbed him and they beat him up and they left him for dead. And he said, along came Solomon riding a mule. Amen. Amen. And picked that man up. Amen. And dusted him off and poured in the wine and the oil. Amen. Oh, friend. Amen. Missing part of it. Somewhere he said, as he's going down the road, the thorns grew up and was choking him. Amen. He said they went on down the road. Amen. And amen. He said, old Solomon got caught. Amen. In the bough of that oak tree. And the mule walked on. And that man, when he got, amen, down into Jerusalem, amen, he said, there was Jezebel hanging out the window. Amen. And he said, amen, throw her down. And they threw her down. And he said, pick her up and throw her down again. And they threw her down again. And he said, throw her down seven times, 70. Amen. And he said, when they got done, they took up 12 basketfuls. Amen. I mean, friend, he knew the Bible, all right. Amen. It may be a joke. It may be a story. Amen. Oh, friend. Oh, it was so mixed up. It was so twisted. But you'd be surprised how many of our people couldn't even quote you John 3:16. They may talk in tongues, but they're not devoted. Amen. God told Joshua. Amen. In Joshua 1 and 8, and I've quoted it several times. But I was looking at it again tonight, and I want to read it. Every word of it tonight. Joshua 1 and 8, the successor of Moses. Amen. God had told him he'd be with him. He was going to be with him just like he was with Moses. But here's what God commanded him in verse 8 of chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Think about it, friend. I mean, there's some preaching right there. I mean, the Bible is to never depart from our mouth. We're never to lose it. I mean, it is a keepsake. Amen. It is our remembrance. It is our meditation. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Amen. I thought about the man. Amen. Every time he'd open the Bible, he'd get to shouting glory. I mean, he'd disturb places everywhere he went. Hey, have you heard the story? You know what I'm telling. Finally, amen. Amen. It was in a doctor's office or somewhere. Amen. And they took his Bible and they gave him an encyclopedia. And he got to reading that, and he got to shouting and hollering there. And they said, what are you shouting about now? He said, I just read this encyclopedia that the ocean is so many miles deep. And I got to thinking, that's how far God cast my sins. Amen. In the sea. Amen. Of forgetfulness. Amen. I mean, it didn't matter what book you gave it. He thought Bible. He thought Scripture. He thought the Word. Let me tell you, we're living in a day. Some of those can't get spiritual, even with a King James Version. Giant print in front of friend. It's become another book. It's become another item on the shelf. It's become another part of the library. But he said we need to meditate in it day and night. It's not to depart from our mouth. Then he said, amen, then, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Hey, can I tell you why some of our people are having such a battle tonight? I tell you why some of them ain't successful. They're not staying in the Bible. Let me tell you, if we get folks to read the Bible like they ought to read, some of them wouldn't get in debt like they get in debt. Hello. Some of them, amen, wouldn't get their lives in the stinking mess they're in. Some of them wouldn't wag their tongues like a dog's tail. Hello. Amen. Some of them wouldn't dress like they're dressing. Some of them wouldn't do like. The problem is they're not reading the Bible. They're not reading the book. It's like the mama that was sick in bed and the preacher and the deacons come to pray for her. And laying there in the bed, she told her little daughter, said, honey, go get that book that mama loves so well. And she brought her the J.C. Penney catalog. Amen. I mean, embarrassed the man. Embarrassed her mama. Let me tell you, friend, our children know what we like to read. They know what we love. They know what we talk about. They know what we meditate upon. Amen. Are we really devoted? Let me tell you, there's no greater thrill than to be a minister and priest to folks that love the Word of God. Are you hearing me tonight? I preached in Jamaica. I'm going to tell you, you can give away, man, a little Jamaican man, an old wore-out Bible, and he'll act like it's $1 million. I mean, he'll hold that thing tight, Brother Harris. Old wore-out hat, a two-piece faded suit, one old wore-out tambourine, and I mean, they live to go to church every night. I was over there 10 nights. I mean, brother, you can take 12 Jamaicans and, amen, a tambourine. They'll make more noise than 200 people in the United States. You don't have to, amen, ask anybody to testify. Just take one little break in the service. They're up. I mean, amen, they're blessing the bishop and they're blessing the Lord and they're giving honor to this and honor to that. And I mean, friends, I mean, they love. I preached for 2 hours till my lungs about fell out and they'd say, tell us more. Tell us more. Tell us more. I've watched the tears roll down their face. And it wasn't because I had hot peppers for dinner and breathed on them either, amen. I mean, they cried because they loved the book. But folks just about cry if you preach over a half hour now. I mean, friend, are we really devoted? You think some of our preachers are long-winded? How would you like us to do it? Have revival like they did in Nehemiah's day, Esther's day, Ezra's day. How would you like that? Stand and let me read the Word of God for 6 hours at a crack. How would you like that? And Brother Lonnie running through the crowd giving the interpretation. Amen. Hello. I mean, brother, you talking about Dr. Scholes? We'd all be keeping him in business. Hello. I mean, you know, I mean, friend, we're living in today. Amen. We act, folks act like, amen, they're doing you a favor to stand when you read your text, let alone, amen, preach, amen. Let me tell you, friend, we need a love in this hour for the Word of God. And I got to get with it. I ain't getting very far, but I'd like to, amen, amen, put great emphasis upon this point tonight. Friend, you'll never be filled with the Spirit like you need to be filled with the Spirit until you love this book above everything else that you'll ever read in this world. You need to be devoted. You need to love God's Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Hello. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why some folks having trouble with their minds. I tell you why there's a lot of evil imaginations. I tell you why a lot of folks can't, amen, meditate upon those things that are holy, lovely, pure, true, and, amen, meaning power, meaning praise, amen. They're watching too much true love story. They're reading too many, amen, romance books, amen. Amen. They're reading everything but the Bible. Ain't it amazing? We can read Betty Cockcrocker's Bible on brownies. Amen. And this book do here say, amen, this makes the best brownies in the world. Because Betty Crocker said so. I mean, we read the Fisherman's Bible. We can read the Hunter's Bible. Amen. We can read this or that. And I mean, we believe it. We tell it. Why, we print it. We mail recipes. You'll love this. You'll like this. When's the last time you ever sent somebody a scripture and said, you'll like this one. You'll love this one. It'll do you good. It'll bless you. It'll help you. Do we really? No, we argue over it. We fuss over it. I'm just not sure healing's for today. I'm not sure that God wants to do that in these last days. I'm not sure the Bible really means what it says. We believe Betty Crocker. Amen. We believe everybody else. Why can't we believe God? The way some folks talk, their meditation, every time they open up their lips, they've been reading Captain Marvel or Zulu Hulu. Hello, are you hearing me? You give me a young person to get devoted to this book, and I'll show you a young man, the Mormons won't have to teach us anything about how to act. You hearing me tonight? I'll show you a young man that'll dress right. I'll show you a young man that have a right character. I'll show you a young lady that knows how to act like a woman. Amen. I'll show you somebody, amen, that'll be decent, upright, and an asset to the community. Amen. Instead of walking around. I mean, we got a generation. They got their head stuck up the attire so much. Wait, mama. I mean, we're living in it. I mean, they know how to act like Isaac. They know how to act like the Smurf. Are you hearing me? They know how to act like Captain Marvel. Amen. They know how to act like Superman. Amen. Amen. But do they know how to act like Jesus? Do they know how to live like Jesus? Do they know how to walk like Jesus? Do they know how to live like Jesus? We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get family altars in our homes. We need to read the Bible every day in our family. The newspaper in the last 10 years, the news media, have fed our generation such a steady diet. Lust, incest, fornication, adultery, molestation, abuse, amen, lasciviousness, homosexuality, lesbianism, amen, bestiality, everything you can imagine, amen, to where it don't even move us. What's the news, honey? Oh, another woman got raped. Another family had a daddy go berserk. Amen. What's on the television? Or any coupons for the steakhouse? And I'll tell you what, this news media of our day has rocked us to sleep. Right in the 20th century. Are you hearing me? We are being rocked to sleep with a steady diet of every imaginable sin where it doesn't burden us. It doesn't move us. Amen. We read the newspaper. It's just old news. Same old junk. Rape, murder, killing, starving people. People die. I mean, it don't touch us. It don't burden us. It don't move us. Let me tell you, friend. Amen. You feed a hog sloth, he'll get fat. Amen. Feed a cow grass, she'll get milk. Amen. Feed a fish. Amen. Contamination in the water, it'll die. Amen. Feed. Amen. A Christian, a worldly diet. Amen. They'll shrink up. But give them the book. Let them eat the word. Let them get hungry for the Bible. Amen. Their steps will be directed. They'll flourish like a palm tree in Lebanon. They'll be fruitful to the church. They'll be edified. Oh, that we get back to the book. You read J.C. Penney, you'll get what J.C. Penney can produce. Amen. You read the Handy Man Herald, you'll get what it can produce. Amen. You read Lover Lane's Lucy, you'll get what that produces. Hello. But read the book, and you'll get what the book can do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I remember, amen, the story. Amen. Down in Phelps, Kentucky. Amen. A poor man in that area who at a young baby age was burnt in a fire. Amen. They barely got him out of the house before the house caved in. Amen. To make a long story short, he was mentally retarded to some degree. Amen. He was bald and had scabs and sores all over his head. He was dumb, illiterate, and ignorant. But he had enough sense. Somebody started inviting him to the house of God, Brother Billy Harris. And that old man with Brother Phil Korn pastors, amen, started coming to church. He'd walk out of the holler 2 miles, amen, with a flashlight. Oh, friend, amen, he stuttered. Amen, he listened to the word. Amen, one night during prayer request, they said, anybody got a prayer request? Amen, he said, I want you to pray that, amen, that the Lord, amen, heal these scabs on my head. He heard him preach healing long enough. He thought he'd try it. Amen, they asked him to come forth. And with a childlike faith, amen, they laid hands on that gentleman. Amen, in a few days, the scabs were gone. A few weeks later, prayer requests again. Amen, he raised his hand. He said, Bill, said, I want you to pray. Amen, I'm a young man that the Lord will put hair on my head. I mean, you know, he was prematurely bald for his age. Well, they prayed. Childlike faith on his part. And miraculously, black, dark, thick hair began to grow on that head. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't long. Amen. He said, I want you to pray. Amen. That God will touch my memory. I mean, a man that was illiterate, mentally retarded, had been affected as a child. Amen. They prayed for him, and he got the word. He could recite every scripture he heard somebody quote. He could recite the songs that he heard sung in church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, he never did, amen, get told he's smart. But, I mean, God did some miracles in his life. Amen. If you go to Phelps now, unless he's moved, when he comes to church, he'll always know it. He's got a pocket full of ink pens, and he's got a watch all the way up his arm. One night, Bill Corns, the pastor there, said, what time is it? He wanted to see what he'd say. Watches, he couldn't tell time. He said, Bill, it's late. It's late. And brother, it is. It's late. That old ignorant man, amen, who didn't have, he's smarter than what a lot of people think. Hello. Amen. He heard the word of God, and he believed the word of God. We've heard the word of God. I tell you what, we're needing our believer fixed. We're needing, amen, our ears to be sharpened. They've got dull of hearing in these last days. Oh, friend, amen, there's a place in this book that you and I can live every day. The songwriter said, there's a place I long to be. I go there all the time. It's become such a part of me, body, soul, and mind. I marvel at its many sights. Oh, friend, oh, how my heart is stirred. All because I'm living in His Word. Let me tell you, friend, if we give the church back in the Word and believe in the Word and responding to the Word, we'd have more moves of the Holy Ghost. I'm not against shouting or singing. The Word of God. Amen. Get moved by the Word of God. A spirit-filled Christian will be devoted. Well, tonight, amen, we're, amen, devoted tonight by study. Study to shew thyself approved. We're devoted tonight by surrender. Romans 12 and 1, do we know the scripture? We've already quoted 1,000 times in Pentecost. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Could it be tonight we're not as devoted as we ought to be, because we're not as surrendered as we ought to be? Oh, we sing it. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Amen. We surrender so much of it. Amen. We surrender so much of this. We surrender what we want to. We surrender it to 9:05. But after that, it's my time. Hello. Hey, friend. Amen. We get devoted by study. We get devoted by surrender. Amen. I quoted the other night, I'm not going to preach an hour on holiness, but 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, ye are not your own. Ye've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Have you really surrendered it all? Let me tell you what I've learned over the years. When I was a young Christian, I learned the more I read and the more of my life I gave to God, the more I'd feel His power come upon me. The more real the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost was real to me before I even got filled with the Spirit. I'd have Him come upon me in the oddest places. Hello. I mean, friend, where you wouldn't even dream of believe. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had any experiences like that, amen, we're devoted by study. We're devoted by surrender. Amen. Oh, tonight, friend, we're devoted by separation. 1 Timothy 5:22. Amen. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Amen. Keep thyself pure. Let me tell you, friend, if you're going to stay spirit-filled in this day and hour, don't be partaker of other man's sins. Don't lay hands suddenly on somebody else. Keep thyself pure tonight. And I tell you, you can help yourself stay pure at times just by where you go. Hello? What you look at. What you listen to. Who you associate with. Now, this pastor can preach his guts out every Sunday morning, but he can't keep you pure. That's something you've got to do. I mean, as much as you're to keep your heart with all diligence, and as much as, amen, you're to keep yourself in the love of God, you are to keep yourself pure tonight. Amen. Hey, God ain't going to knock you in the head if you want to stick your head up an ungodly magazine. I mean, you can get perverted and lose out with God looking in the wrong section of the Sears catalog. I mean, if you want to do it, God don't make anybody do nothing. He'll deal with you. He'll nudge you. But I'm going to give you some news, friend. You stay spirit-filled in this hour. Amen. You'll be devoted. And you're going to do it, amen, by study. Amen. You're going to do it by separation. Amen. Amen, friend. That old saying, see no evil. Amen, do no evil. Amen. Well, it ain't bad to say. Amen, see no evil. It'll help you keep from doing evil. Amen. I mean, friend, we become what we see. We become what we look at. We become what we hear. Trace down every abusive, amen, person that's ever been, amen, in jail. Like the man in Florida. Amen, his roots trace back. Amen to pornography. It's the truth. And if pornography affects the world like that, can I tell you just the wrong kind of books can affect the church? The wrong things we look at, wrong things you think about. Amen. You get devoted to God by separation. Keep thyself pure tonight. I preach tonight, a Holy Ghost filled Christian will be dedicated. Amen. How do we stay dedicated in the sun? We stay dedicated by loving God. By loving God. Amen. Paul, amen, tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, amen, verse 24. He loved God so much. Listen, what this man of God went through. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In the journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils among countrymen. In perils by, amen, the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Amen. We amen. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I mean, brother, that's loving God tonight. Wouldn't you be willing to go through all those things? Amen. Oh, when we're willing, friend, amen, to suffer for His sake. Paul said in Galatians 6, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, friend, when you love somebody, you'll suffer for them. You'll go all the way. Amen. Nothing will stop you. We read a story a while back. My wife did. She told me about it. A man of a, was it a king or just a man in a foreign country? Amen. Who his wife, he was, amen, was taken captive in war. And there, amen, he was took before the king to be killed. And the story goes, he pleaded. He got down on his knees. He said, I'm engaged to be married. I have a woman that loves me back home. And please don't kill me. We love, we're going to get married. He said, does she really love you? He said, she loves me. He said, we'll see how much she loves you. If she loves you enough, I'll let you go. And he sent a letter blowing his servants to the man's home, town where he was raised. Amen. Over across the waters, and said, if you love this man and you want to marry him, cut off your right arm or right hand. Cut off your right hand and send it to me, and I'll let him free. It wasn't but a few days. The servant brought back the hand of the woman that loved the man. I mean, brother, that's love. I mean, some of them wouldn't do it after 30 years of marriage, let alone, amen, engagement, hello. I mean, you know, I love you, baby, as long as it don't cost me too much. I love you, honey, long as the price ain't too great. And we got a lot of them that's that way by Jesus tonight. They love Jesus long as the fishes are good, the loaves are plenty, and everything's hunky-dory, and everything's fine and dandy. But God give us some people that can shout when they're up against it, when they're going through it. How to love God through the high times, love God through the low times. How to love Him when it's hot, love Him when it's cold, love Him when it's good, love Him when it's bad. Oh, the songwriter said, I love Him too much to fail Him now, too much to break my vow. I promised the Lord I'd make it somehow. Do we really love Him? We talk about loving God. We talk about loving the Lord. I love to walk with Jesus where He follows. Amen. Where He leads, I'll follow. Amen. That's fine till it gets rough, till it gets rocky. Lord, amen, are you sure you're dealing with me? Are you sure we're in the will of God? Are you sure this is the path you want me to trod? Hey, friend, we, amen, tonight must be dedicated by loving God tonight. Nothing else will keep you. Nothing else will keep you spirit-filled. Let me tell you, friend, as a full-time minister, I've had some great times. Amen and amen. There have been some other times. There have been one thing that held me to the master, and that was the love. Amen. Amen. He loved me, and I loved him. Hello. Let me tell you, anybody can serve God when things are well. Anybody can do something when the chips are high. Amen. Anybody can love a wife when she's got a figure like a Coca-Cola bottle. Amen. Sing like a saint. Amen. And cook like an angel. Amen. And whatever else. But friend, it's another case when they're laying in the hospital bed dying with cancer. So when we find out how much we love them. I mean, just as the marriage vow says, through sickness and in health. Amen. Richness. Amen. Through, amen. You know, through pain, through, amen, through good times, through bad times. I mean, that's the way it is with Christ. I mean, friend, when you resign it all, when you get saved, when you take on, amen, his holy name and he touches your life, amen, it's through, amen, better or worse, whatever, amen, we got to go through. I mean, it's a love that keeps us dedicated, friend. Oh, friend, can I tell you, we stay dedicated, amen, by looking to God, amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, see, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We be doing good. We get a lot of our people to do that, to lay aside the weights and the sins which are hindering them. But he didn't stop there. Then he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. We stay dedicated by looking to God tonight. Oh, when I was in Texas last year, that pastor would sing that song. I had a vision of Jesus. I had a vision of him. Oh, my dad sung that song for years. I saw the face of Jesus. So sweet was the smile that he wore. Oh, I dreamed I was about to cross Chile Jordan. I was standing on the evergreen shore. Oh, let me tell you, friend, it makes a difference when you keep your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. It makes a difference tonight. Let me tell you, friend, there have been times I preached, I had to look to him. Amen. Oh, friend, there have been times along the way you got to keep your eyes upon him. We stay dedicated by looking to God and to looking to his son. Amen. Let me hit this again. We stay dedicated not only by loving God and looking to God, but we stay dedicated by longing for God. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I believe it is, he said these words. Amen. He said, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. How about it, neighbor? After 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, is it still your desire to know him? Let me tell you, my wife and I have been married over 16 years. And can I tell you, there's times I still desire to know her in a greater way. Hello? Because there is a growing love there. There's a growing relationship. There is a growing commitment. And should it be any different with the lover of our soul tonight, friend? Should it be any different tonight with the King of Kings and the Lord? I mean, here's a man seen the blinded eyes open, the demon cast out. He preached along, a man fell out asleep and was taken up dead, and he seen the dead raised. Here's a man, I mean, that God used to write more of the New Testament than any other apostle. Amen. A man that God used in a mighty way. And here he cries out and says, oh, that I may know him. Amen. Oh, friend, it's been a long time since I've heard many people in any church stand up and say, oh, I'd like to know him. No, you can quote what he is from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. You can tell, amen. Amen. You can go through the alphabet, amen. I mean, friend, you can, amen, talk about how great he is. You can talk, amen, and it's, oh, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Hello. I mean, friend, we're living in a day. I mean, oh, that we really long to. Let me tell you why some hunters spent nights upon nights upon nights with a coon dog. They desire to know that dog. They desire to know how he's going to treat. They desire to know it. His distinctive sounds. Oh, friend. Amen. When my wife and I began to date, as she was my girlfriend, I mean, we started out, but it got heavier and heavier. And finally, the last year, Brother Lonnie, it was every day of my life at Z28 Camaro. Amen. Thought there was one road to travel up to the Smith house. Amen. Where my wife, future wife lived. Amen. I mean, when I got off work, I headed there. Amen. When I had some free time, headed there. I mean, like that old song, when you see me coming, I had her on my mind. When you see me going, I had her on my mind. Amen. When I got up in the morning, I had her on my mind. When I laid down on the pillow, I had her on my mind. Undullable, she undullable. But do we love Jesus like that? Is he really on our mind? Do we really long for him? Love of the Lord has got old to some folks. It's just become a dried testimony. It's just become a filler in the service. It's just become another song. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless. It shall forever more endure. The saints won't even shed a tear, won't even be touched. I mean, friend, we're living in the days that the angels desire to have a part in. I mean, they're looking down into this day, my brother and my sister. I think some of them shaking their head and say, what in the world is wrong with some of the people in the church? Don't they realize the price that was paid? Don't they? Hey, no greater love. No greater love has any man ever showed than what Jesus Christ showed for me. My wife loves me. I believe she'd cut off both hands for me. Amen. If it was going to be my life. But let me tell you, the Lord did more than that. He gave it all. He gave his life on a rugged cross of Calvary. Do you really long for him? Do you really desire him? Do you feel for him? Amen. Happily when you come to church, though it be not far from anyone, when's the last time you long for him? I wish the church tonight would get a hunger and a longing like Sisera's mother did. She looked, amen, went over to the window and looked out. Said, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is it so long, my son? Oh, friend, there have been a few times I thought, why is it so long between moves of the Holy Ghost? Hello. Why is it so long that some people never really pray through? Amen. I'll tell you why they ain't spirit-filled. I'll just be honest with you. You get spirit-filled, you be dedicated. And you stay dedicated by loving God, looking to God, and longing for God. Job put it like this in the 23rd chapter of Job, the 3rd verse. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Amen. I mean, Job was in that valley, that great trial of his life. He said, I looked before me, wasn't there? I looked behind me, wasn't there? To my left, my right, he wasn't there. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Hey, friend, have you ever got hungry for a move of God? Have you ever got hungry for the Holy Ghost? Have you ever got hungry for the Son of God to visit you? I remember in the little house we were raised in Columbus, Ohio, when I was, amen, 8, 9, 10 years old. My daddy got saved when I was 7 in 1964. My dad was healed of a nervous breakdown after 39 days in university hospital. And my dad has practiced a life of fasting and praying and Bible reading every morning in his life. Amen. If he ain't up reading an hour before he goes to work, he's deathbed sick. You can count on it. I don't care if he has to go in at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's up at 2. or 1:30, reading his Bible. My dad had the Lord visited him. Amen. As he was fasting and seeking the Holy Ghost in his early part of his Christian experience. One morning, amen, he'd been on a fast for several days. And amen, it's always our custom. I don't know how you do it down here, but we still brush our teeth on a fast. Amen. I wish some of them just brush them all the time, you know. Amen. But we brush our teeth on a fast. And amen. And he was in the bathroom. He just washed his face. Amen. The door was barely cracked. It was early in the morning, the dark hours of the morning. He was getting ready for work. And as he brushed his teeth and he was drying his face, he was meditating on God. He said he heard footsteps come up the hallway on that hardwood floor. And he paused and listened a moment. He said, then he heard a robe dragging behind. He said, that's not my wife's footsteps. That's not my children's footsteps. And he said he felt the presence of God run all over him. Brother Howell, and he said, a voice spoke to him, said, be not afraid, it is I. Be of good cheer. Can I tell you about 12 years passed by. We had moved two or three times after that. We was renting a little farmhouse for $100 a month. My dad got a longing for visitation again. And he said to my mom, he said, honey, he said, I'm going to go in the extra bedroom tonight and I'm going to sleep there. I'm going to seek God tonight. And he told me, he said, he went to bed that night and he prayed and he said, God, I want you to visit me again and stir me like you did in that little house on Argyle Drive. He prayed, or he prayed himself asleep that night. I've been fasting and seeking God. He said up in the morning hours that morning, he said he dreamed, amen, that the Lord came right into the room. He said when he woke up, the power of God was on him. He felt like he was that high off the bed. He said when he came to himself, the power of God's still on him. He said he heard the same footsteps come down through the kitchen by that bedroom. He heard that same robe dragging that tile floor. And a voice said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, that we'd get a longing tonight, church. Oh, that we get hungry. Hey, I know a man in Alabama that prayed down an angel a few years ago. You believe it? Sure, I believe it. I know a man in Kentucky that prayed down an angel a few years ago. Reason, amen, a lot of people don't see it there. They don't pray enough. They don't desire it. Hey, friend, to have an intimate relationship with the Son of God, you got to long for it. You got to desire it. You got to want it tonight. I'll tell you, Holy Ghost seeker, something tonight. If you get it like you need to get it, you'll have to want it more than anything in this world. It'll have to mean more to you than another meal out. It'll have to mean more to you than another ball game. It'll have to mean more to you than some more fellowship. It'll have to mean more to you than anything else. Brother, when you get more hungry for the power of God over everything else in this world, that's when you'll get it. Brother Ralph Lowry said he had fasted and prayed and sought God. He's the same man I mentioned in the meeting last week that killed his own brother when he was 19 years old. Amen. And God delivered him out of prison. He got wonderfully saved, a preacher of the gospel. Amen. And Brother Ralph Lowry said he got hungry to see an angel. And he said he was in a revival with another man. He'd preach a night, the other man preach a night. And he said, I was fasting and praying and seeking God. I forget how many days he'd push the plate back, but every day he'd pray and say, God, send an angel. He said, you sent one to Lot. You sent one to Abraham. You sent one to Gideon. You sent one to Joshua. He said, God, you sent one to Peter. You can send one to me. Amen. Amen. He began to pray and seek God. Amen. And one evening he came home and went to his bedroom, the back bedroom of that mobile home he lived in. And as he prayed, the power of God fell on him. Amen. And he fell back on the floor. And about a half hour later, he woke up, amen, still under the influence of the Spirit. And God said, you can get up now, Ralph. You can go into your living room. The angel's in the living room. And he said, I got up. Let me tell you, friend, he said the power of God was on him so strong he was half scared. And he said he'd walk down the hallway of that living room.
And he said the closer he'd get, he said he was afraid he'd die. The power of God was so strong. He said he'd get right there to the living room, and he'd turn back, and he'd go back to the room, and he'd pray, God, I ain't got strength enough. Help me. He'd go three or four times. He went down the hallway of that trailer. Amen. He never could walk into that room, even though God had granted his prayer. Amen. He went back. He said, finally, God, he said, take him away. He said, I know he's in there. I feel his presence. I believe you, God. But he said, I can't stand it. Take him out. Amen. He didn't say a word to nobody. He went to church that night in that revival. Amen. He walked in the door. The other preacher looked at him and said, man, what in the world's happened to you? Yeah. He said, what do you mean? He said, Brother Ralph, there's a glow on you I've never seen in my life. He said, I felt God when you walked through the door. He said, I wasn't going to tell it to nobody. But he said, I prayed an angel down in my trailer this evening. I couldn't look upon it, but he was there. God told me, undullable, she undullable. Hey, friend, when we get hungry and when we long for God and when we desire a visitation more than anything else, we'll have it. We'll have it. We'll have it, but we got to long for it. Can I preach tonight, friend? Amen. The Holy Ghost fields, Santa God will be determined. Amen. Brother Joe was singing about, I've been tested, I've been tried. Amen. I went through so many things. Let me tell you, friend, when you are determined, you will have a testimony. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, amen, that regardless of all the sufferings, the problems, amen, the perils and all the, amen, unfortunate things that came to him, he said, in spite of it all, yet none of these things moved me. Amen. None of these things moved me. I wonder how determined we are. Let me tell you, there'll be times in your Christian experience that you'll have to get to a place you'll say, God, if you never do answer the prayer, I'll serve you anyway. I'll walk with you anyway. Hey, friend, there have been a few times I have prayed through to the place and said, God, if you never do it, I'll go on anyway. I'll preach on anyway. I'll be faithful anyway. Oh, that we get to the place and we'd have a testimony regardless. Can I tell you tonight, friend, if we're determined, we'll, amen, be able to go through testings. Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm a firm believer there have been times that God was that close to delivering and moving. Folks fainted. Folks gave up. Folks quit. Oh, friend, are you determined to live for God regardless of the cost tonight? Are you completely sold out to God? Are you sold out lock, stock, and barrel? Have you committed it all, surrendered it all, and delivered it all at His feet? Amen, friend, is your life surrendered, sacrificed, and yielded to Him tonight as a member of righteousness? Amen. Can you stand and testify? Can you stand and, amen, preach and teach, amen, that you've been tested, you've been tried, amen. Amen. When you get determined and you get filled with the Spirit, you will go through trials, amen. Amen. James 5:11, the Bible said, well, we've heard of them of old, amen, how that we counted them happy, that endured, that had patience, amen. Let me tell you, friend, read about the trial of Abraham. How God, amen, told him to take that promised son up on Mount Moriah. Read about the patience of Job. Read about the patience of others' friend. They endured and they were happy. They trusted God. They went on anyway. Let me tell you, friend, there's more to having the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues and feeling good, amen, than just coming to church. Sometimes you got to go through some things. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, said they were sawed asunder. They were tortured. They were tempted. They quenched the violence of fire. Amen. I mean, they wandered in caves and dens, had sheepskin society. And the Bible said in the world wasn't worthy of them. These and others
I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I'd like to be some of them others in these last days that have a made up mind. Regardless, hey, I'm going to remind you something tonight. Some of you don't even realize it, but the Bible will back it up. The world ain't even worthy of the godly testimony that's in your life. The world ain't worthy, amen, of the work of God that God's done in your life. The world ain't worthy to have a Saratoga hold his church on this corner, amen, to tell them about Jesus. But that's our job. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity. That's our work. And God help us to be determined. Tonight, if you're determined, you go through temptations. James 1 and 12, blessed is the man, amen, that endure temptations, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Hey, friend, are you really determined tonight? You know what the word blessed really means? It means happy. Amen. The Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they, amen, 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 I'm trying to think, amen, amen. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, and happy are you, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said, rejoice and exceed glad, for greater is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets and the forefathers that were before you. And James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Paul told Timothy, I'm getting ready to send it out on my tape ministry. Amen. About a good soldier. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Some of us ain't enduring nothing. Devil looks cross-eyed and we go, ooh. Somebody goes, boo, and we fall down. Somebody don't shake our hand and we're puffed up for 2 weeks. Amen. Let me tell you, I've preached revivals for a week and a half. And the last time they got them said, bless God, it's been good to have Brother Mark Brock with us. Or it's been good to have Brother McCoy. Hey, it don't matter if they remember my name or not. That's the least thing, little trivial thing in the world. As long as they remember the Lord. Amen. I mean, friend, I've seen people get so puffed up and fall out over nothing. And we're going to talk about enduring temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Let me ask you something tonight, friend. Have you ever went through a temptation happily? Hello? What the Bible said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. You know what diver means? It means various. Any kind of temptation, count it all joy. I mean, you know, when's the last time you said, thank God I'm being tempted? When's the last time you counted all joy? Let me tell you, you ever had a lemon car? The brother in the home church, he that's all he's had. He got his first new car a few weeks ago. He's in his 40s, and man, I was tickled as he was about it. I mean, that man's had more junkers. And I mean, it took years him praying through about them cars. Maybe that's why it's been so long since he's had a new one. But his favorite statement, if I had a stick of dynamite, I'd be Lord of heaven. And I believe he would have. I believe he meant what he said. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been? Count it all joy. Hey, we were hooking up in Bessemer, Alabama a year or two ago, going to Irondale, 30 miles. I had 3 flats in 5 minutes. I mean, I had 30 miles. Surely, we'll get there in plenty of time. Pulled in the gas station. He kept plugging them. They wouldn't plug. I mean, you know, I didn't know if he was even going to get to the revival. But you know who?
Let me tell you, friend, I know one time God saved me out of a bad automobile wreck. I remember one meeting that was driving all night. After the meeting was over, we were hindered. And I mean, sometimes you and I have a hard time counting it all joy when we fall into temptation. And I was getting just a little aggravated. I had to drive all night and half the next day to get where I was going to start Sunday night. And we finally got on the way, and we got 20 minutes down the road. And we pulled up on one of the worst accidents I've ever seen in my life. Four young teenagers in a Camaro car. All of them intoxicated, went left of the double yellow line, left of center, hit a Ford pickup truck pulling a cattle truck, and hit it so hard they knocked the back axle of the truck plumb out from underneath it, and the cattle truck still hooked to it. Glass all over the highway. The ambulance was driving them away when we pulled up to that where the road came onto the main one. And I don't know if one of them lived. Let me tell you, 15 minutes sooner, that could have been me, friend. Oh, we get upset when the train catches us, the tire goes flat, and the motor blows sky high. We say, Lord, what in the world are we going to do? How much more can we take? And I mean, you know, we've all, but the Bible said, blessed is that man or woman that endureth temptation. Hey, you ever been tempted to go back? Amen. Have you ever seen a good place to go back? Let me tell you, I've never wanted to go back, but I'd be lying tonight if I told you the devil's never showed me a few places that have been a good place to go back if I'd wanted to. Hello. Amen. You've lived closer to God than I have. Amen. If the devil's never talked to you, amen, and said it wasn't worth it, amen. I mean, what are you accomplishing? But the friend, I endured it. I held on. I went on. Oh, friend, they determined. Amen. Holy Ghost-filled Christian will go through the temptation. Can I preach last but not least? The Holy Ghost-filled saint of God will be detained. Amen. There must be a time of waiting on God if you and I are going to stay spirit-filled in this last day and hour. Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We sing, teach us, Lord, to obey, but we have a hard time doing it. I've waited in the checkout line when it was a half a mile long, and it seemed like it was 40 minutes before I ever got up to the conveyor belt. But we was needing groceries. Hello? I've waited in them fast food restaurant drive-thrus for I thought I'd crawl out of my skin. I was in such a hurry. Hello? But the kids wanted a hamburger. I've waited in lines at restaurants, smelled crab legs cooking and steaks frying for 30 minutes because I knew it was going to be worth the wait. But oh, do we ever smell any sweet aroma when we're waiting on God? Hello? They that wait upon the Lord. Let me tell you, preachers, and you, some of you have been in longer than I ever get to be in it, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen times in revivals that I waited all day on God, and 6 o'clock He spoke to me what to preach. And let me tell you, that's not comfortable. That's not totally pleasant. And I mean, it'll set your nerves on edge if you've got any nerves left. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. You can go to the pulpit, amen, with an assurance. At least you got the mind of God. Amen. Whether you preach long or much, amen, at least you got a hold of God. Oh, a spirit-filled Christian will be detained. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. He said, I will that everywhere that men would pray, amen, pray all, amen, that men there would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, amen. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, I believe it is, pray without ceasing, amen. Oh, friend.
Oh, that we'd be willing tonight to pray like we need to pray, friend. Amen. When we get detained, amen, we will pray tonight in a great way. We'll have personal prayer. Amen. Matthew 6:6, the Bible teaches us that when you pray, when you go into your closet and you shut the door, amen, pray to your Heavenly Father in secret. Amen. And He'll hear you in secret and He'll bless you openly. Hey, there has to be fervent personal prayer. Amen. There has to be fervent prayer. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is no limit tonight to what a prayer of a righteous man or woman, how far to go, if they'll take time to pray. If they'll take time to seek God. Amen. What will we do if we get Holy Ghost filled? We will be detained. We will be detained. When the disciples, amen, before Jesus went away, He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In Acts, the Bible tells us that they prayed. I think most people agree around 10 days. Amen. But they prayed a long time. They waited upon the Holy Ghost. You know, it's a good thing tonight that we don't have to pray 10 days straight now. I'll tell you what, I ain't many people be willing to take a vacation and get the Holy Ghost. Hello? Come to piano. I'm going to try to quit and let us pray a while. But they prayed. They tarried. I heard some super duper nitwit a while back on the radio. He said, bless God, these people teaching you need to tarry till you be endued. He said, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible after the Holy Ghost was poured out that anybody ever tarried for the Holy Ghost. He said, you don't have to tarry. He's already here. You just receive Him. I'm going to tell you what. He's here. I know that. But I'll tell you where we got to tarry. We got to tarry till we get to the place He can come in. We can surrender our lives. Hello? He don't come in to fallow ground. He don't come in to harden lives. He don't come in to stubborn wills. How hungry you got to get the Holy Ghost, preacher? You'll get so hungry that you'll sit out at the table and you get to pray in your prayer and you'll say, God, I thank God for this food. But Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. And you push the plate back and you go pray. How hungry will you get if you want the baptism, preacher? It gets so hungry that even when you work construction like some of us have, I've seen days I mixed mortar for 3 days, fasting and praying. You know what I used to love to break a fast with? A strawberry milkshake. I mean 3 to 5 days, nothing to eat, very little water to drink. I mean, you can taste every little fuzz on that strawberry after 3 days. And I mean to tell you, friend, when you get so hungry, I mean, I used to wear folks out wanting the Holy Ghost. But if you get determined enough and show them you really want it, there'll be some of them that eventually pray you through because they'll get tired of waiting on you. We can say what you want about the old church and the old folks and about people that didn't know all their Greek and Hebrew. But I'll tell you one thing, they'd pray with you around the altar. I'd have them get around me. It was like a powwow. I couldn't get up if I wanted to. I'd pray and cry and say all I know to say. God, get up. They said, get back down, son. Pray some more.